Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show. Oh man, I'm gonna come up to the wire on this one. It's gonna be a game time decision.
I don't know. What do I do?
I don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Wow, you really stumped me on this one, Lucas.
I like it. That's fun.
It's fun to make Philip look like an idiot.
Hey, you said it, not me. Okay.
All right. Fine. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 3, Episode 11 of CFD's Podcast for Good. My name is Philip Kerrigan. I'm the Program Manager of the Washington State Combined Fund Drive. I am joined by...
Heather Lucas, Fiscal and Policy Coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
Yes, you are. Yeah. We are here today talking about the environment.
Yeah.
Which out here in Washington is a real big passion for a lot of folks, but we are specifically talking about... the orca population.
Orcas.
We were joined by Casey McLean, the executive director and veterinary nurse of the SR3 Sea Life Response Rehab and Research Organization. That is a mouthful.
It is. There are three R's there. See, get what they did? SR3.
Oh, wow. I just caught that.
Yeah.
That's a clever, alliteration.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's pretty neat.
And it also makes you go, what's SR3?
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, is that Senate Bill 3?
Nice.
Okay, that makes sense now. Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, you know, you learn something new every day.
Fact.
SR3 means there are three R's.
Fact.
Okay. we're talking about the orca population, which is a huge back and forth at this moment in time. You kind of mentioned it when we were in the interview. You've seen a lot of well-crafted documentaries on the plight of the orca. Mm-hmm. Obviously, anybody who's our age knows of the fantastic movie Free Willy.
Mm-hmm. True.
And thinks that it's that easy to save an orca.
Yeah.
Especially a domesticated orca can just fly above a bunch
of
rocks.
They clearly speak English. Yeah,
obviously.
I mean, there's no way.
Obviously. But holes in that movie notwithstanding, it actually did. Anytime sort of this comes up, and it could be because they're so unique of an animal, like they look so different. People get very passionate about these particular sea mammals.
Yeah, I don't recall ever hearing anything about orcas prior to that.
Yeah, I don't feel like I did either.
Yeah.
Like before Free Willy.
No.
You know, you just knew they were cool looking.
Yeah.
And if you went to SeaWorld,
you would see them.
You would see them. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this about a trip to SeaWorld.
Yeah.
So when I was like 7 or 8, we went to SeaWorld.
Okay.
We had some friends or whatever. Who, my mom and dad had friends
we
down
had
there.
Some friends.
We had some friends. Then we no longer speak. Longer story than that. No,
I have no more friends.
Yeah. Just kidding. My mom and dad, shout out to mom. Hopefully you're listening to this show too.
Yeah.
My mom and dad took us to, I think it was SeaWorld, and it was a blast. I loved it, right?
Okay.
You saw the orcas jump and you were doing all that sort of stuff. So it was super cool because you were 8.
Yeah.
Right? Fast forward like 20 years. Uh-huh. Okay. And we are on a family vacation with, I think it was just my oldest was the only one who was alive at that point.
Okay.
And, you know, Blackfish had come out and all this sort of stuff surrounding, like, SeaWorld and how horrible they treat people, their animals, and probably their people.
Probably.
I would assume. Yeah. Shout out to SeaWorld. Be a sponsor on the show. So we went, and I remember like watching everything and turning to my wife and be like, well, this is just depressing now.
Yeah.
Like, this is the worst. You know, like when you were a kid, it was amazing. And now as an adult, when you get all these sort of, when you see all these sort of like exploitative, mm-hmm. exploitative things, you're like, oh man, that's not as cool.
Well, then you know, like all the stuff that's happening behind the scenes that you wouldn't know, like how the sausage is made, quote mm-hmm. unquote. Like mm-hmm. you don't see
yeah.
that stuff.
Yeah. And I, that's why I think those type of things are really good, because then it can point out the fact that, hey, like, you don't need to not enjoy anything in life, but, yeah. but like be smart. And this is not really a great thing that we're doing. Yeah. We had Casey on to talk less about sort of like the domestication of orcas yeah. or that sort of thing, and more about, the, what were they called? They were the Southern yeah. resident orca whales.
Yeah.
Who in particular have been wildly affected by a lack of clean food, basically.
Yeah, and last year I think it was there were two orcas that were like the yeah. babies, the younger yeah. orcas yeah. that died yeah. in that population,
yeah.
and it brought a lot of news and press, right. so people were really aware of like, oh, this is a big deal,
right.
something's wrong.
Yeah, and it was definitely I don't know how much it like caught on with the rest of the country, but out here for sure, for a lot of folks, it was a real personal thing to
yeah.
watch. You know, essentially this poor mother orca basically try, I don't know if it was like revive her baby or mourn, whatever it actually ended up being. It was just super sad to watch,
yeah.
and I think it tore a lot of people up. And it woke people up to an issue that I think has been going around for a long time. We heard Casey kind of talk about it. This
yeah.
has been a slow burn getting up here, as it is with most of this sort of stuff that impacts the environment. It's been slowly accumulating over time.
Yeah.
And now it's just becoming more and more extreme.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
And so the main problem for these orcas, as she talked about, was food source.
Mm-hmm.
And how there's not a lot of that out there. So we talked to her a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty awesome conversation. Really, really kind of got you thinking, I think we can do some things. To,
I felt
like,
a little like the science nerd
yeah.
was, you know,
yeah.
waking up.
Definitely
nice.
Loved her rehashing of our fantastic fifth grade food chain.
yeah.
I love it. Before we dive into the interview, as always,
mm-hmm.
you have a question in the pod. And I got to tell you, this is going to be hard for me. This is going to be one of the hardest ones you've ever done.
That's very strange.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected you to say that at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I would expect to stump you over a yes. different question.
Okay. Okay.
But this question,
yeah.
not so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Because you're such a showboat. So, Philip Kerrigan, if
yes.
you were a famous animal,
yeah.
any kind of animal, you could be a velociraptor.
Okay.
If you were a famous animal, what would your stage name be?
Yeah. Okay. So I really tried super hard to like find a way to like work in Michael Jordan or LeBron James. It did not work. I couldn't.
The goat?
I couldn't find an animal that like could cleverly like dive in. Michael James.
LeBron Jordan.
No, you need an animal. Like the ant has to work the animal into the name, though.
So, like, if you were a velociraptor, it could be like.
See how hard this is? This is not as easy as
so
you think.
So I see what
is.
You're saying. I see what you're saying.
Work
okay.
the animal into the name.
Like a pun.
Yeah, like a pun. Work
yeah.
the animal into the name. And I couldn't, for the life of me, think of anything.
Like Oink Floyd?
Like Oink Floyd, exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So there's not really, I can't find it with LeBron James or Michael Jordan. So we're going to have to move on.
Oh, wow.
And then I decided I would attack it from the angle of my two favorite animals.
Okay.
Which are the cheetah on land and the dolphin in the ocean.
Okay.
And so then I thought cheetah would be like, it could be like a rapper, you know, like a cheetah.
Sure.
Like cheetah be winning.
Oh, uh-huh. I see.
You
see.
Like that?
Yeah.
And then dolphin, I figured something around the Dolph Lundgren.
I just picture a dolphin with Dolph Lundgren
with
hair.
Dolph Lundgren hair.
Yeah.
Being like,
or
I
his
would,
outfit
I would
he's
break
wearing
you.
In Rocky. Yeah. Just those red
you.
Shorts.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I thought that it would be something that was cute mixed with something ridiculous,
uh-huh.
like Dolly Jazz Hands.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Something
okay.
show-stopping where you're like, wait, what?
Sure. Sure,
what
sure, sure.
What does Dolly Jazz Hands do?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just jazz hands.
What animal is Dolly Jazz Hands?
Any animal.
Any animal ever? Yeah. It's got to be an animal with some flair.
Yeah. Maybe one of those raptor things that does the
Ooh, what is that? The Dilophosaurus.
Is that what it is?
I think it is, yeah.
All I know is it's the
Yeah. Or, yeah. that.
Everybody listening knows what I'm talking
you people
about.
People know what dinosaur she's talking
yep.
about. It did the thing and sprayed Newman from Seinfeld.
Yeah. Newman.
yeah.
Dolly Jazz Hands would be a great name for that dinosaur.
Dolly Jazz Hands would be a good name for that mm-hmm. dinosaur. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you that one.
I stand
you did
by
a,
it.
You did a better You did a better job on this one than me. Good
and
job.
I just pulled that one out of nowhere.
Fantastic.
Boom.
So before we go too far down that road, trying to figure out what to name our animals, we're going to toss it to our interview with Casey McLean, the executive director and veterinary nurse of SR3C Life Response Rehab and Research. Here it is.
So we're here with Casey McLean, executive director and veterinary nurse for SR3 Sea Life Response Rehab and Research. Casey, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So can you give us a little history about SR3 Sea Life Response Rehab and Research and what your organization does for the community?
Yeah, so SR3 was born kind of back in 2011 as a very grassroots organization. And it wasn't until about 2016 when we were able to launch our programs of response, rehab, and research. So we operated making sure the community understood why our organization was so important, because we're filling in some really critical gaps in the way we care for marine animals in the Pacific Northwest. So I'm originally from the East Coast, and I moved out here and have worked all over the country with marine animals, and I was a little bit shocked at some of the resources that we lacked to be able to help these animals, in particular our endangered and threatened species. And that's really where this idea came out of.
Okay.
So we started with response to entangled whales, because those animals are definitely being affected by human causes. Almost 90% of them are entangled in marine debris or fishing gear. So that's that both for whales and sea lions. Rehabilitation, we are doing currently, we have a marine animal ambulance. So we go out onto the beaches and respond to animals that are sick, injured, or entangled.
Okay.
We do not have a hospital right now. We are working on building that.
Nice.
And then finally, our research portion is what we do with our southern resident killer whales.
Nice. So where are you guys based out of?
West Seattle.
All right. Well, you know, one of the big things we see all the time, like you can't scroll through your Facebook timeline without seeing, you know, a whale that they went in and found, 800 pounds of plastic in its stomach or things like that. You hear those sort of things all the time when marine life that orcas eat, like seals and fish, have toxins and garbage and plastic. Kind of give us the sort of like cool fifth grade food chain version of why those animals consuming those toxins affect orcas.
Well, so it just kind of builds up over the food chain. So, you know, people often forget about our little forage fish, our, you know, anchovies and things like that. And they're so very important. And they start to eat things in the environment they shouldn't and, you know, get some toxins in them. And then the next level of fish eats that little fish, and it builds up in that larger fish's system. And then, of course, it goes all the way up the food chain until you hit your marine mammals. So the whales that are eating fish, the largest of the fish, the top predators, those whales eat those fish, and they get all the toxins from that fish. And then, of course, you have your transient killer whales that eat seals and sea lions, and those are mammals as well, so they've built up toxins in their system. So it's just that bioaccumulation is what the fancy term for that is.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's a perfect explanation.
So as far as popular culture and, you know, movies like Free Willy and Blackfish and celebrities who speak out about, you know, things happening in the environment, How much influence do you think that has in saving orcas or raising awareness about things in our environment?
Oh, my gosh. It has so much influence about raising awareness, for sure. Sometimes it can be a bit misguided, depending on what you're referring to. But regardless, it is bringing people into the issue, and hopefully people will do the research on their own and make sure they get the full picture. Because, of course, with anything that's being put out there, sometimes there's an angle that they're trying to get you to really see, and maybe you're not getting the entire picture. So I encourage people to definitely research behind those things. But I think, you know, PR and media is incredibly important for us to get this information out to folks that I may never encounter, so I don't get to share with them what's going on.
Right.
So it's just a really good way to get the message out.
Well, do you have anyone who works on your team or who works with your organization that does anything like filming or like recording what's happening on like a, say a beach or when you go out with your marine ambulance to show what's actually happening in our area?
We are so very fortunate to have many volunteers with those skills who are offering to come with us when these things happen. And so, yeah, we definitely have some people that can record these events so that, you know, to me, that really just offers a window into what's going on out there.
Yeah.
The general public isn't going to be at every single one of these instances of beached animals or animals that are injured or seeing what's going on with the orcas. So we have to give them some way to know what's happening out there so they can make changes in their life.
Yeah. Two-part question. Number one, how far down the rabbit hole do you think we are with regards to the orca population? Are we at a point of no return where we will not see the population anywhere near where it used to be? And do you think that the orca whale recovery effort spearheaded by the governor will be effective in saving those orcas?
I don't ever lose hope. We have to maintain hope. And I don't think we're so far gone that we can't do some things to help turn this around. I do think it might take some radical changes that might be very difficult for us as people to sacrifice some of the things that we're used to doing in order to make this turnaround. But I do believe it's possible, and I do believe that people want to do that.
Yeah.
It just takes a lot of compromise and everyone working together and just realizing that there's not one group of people that are, this should be out, we should all be at the table.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I think the governor's plan has some very good parts and possibly some parts that aren't going to be as effective. So it's, and that's with any plan, right? It's incredibly challenging to create something that's going to make everyone happy. But I think they're working as this, they're working as hard as they can as a task force. So I think the task force is doing a good job about making recommendations that will actually change things.
Yeah, I think it's nice to see that at least an effort, a genuine effort is being made to protect a really unique sea animal, to be honest with you.
Right, and, you know, I think that's great. We have a task force, but I don't want to diminish the fact that we as individuals have an immense amount of power in our everyday choices. And I know it's hard to go through your day and think, oh, well, you know, it's just this small thing or that small thing, but when you add that up over the millions of people that are in this area, it really does make a difference.
Yeah. Give us some examples of some of the things that folks can do that are sacrifices that that they personally could do to help.
Well, you know, these animals need food when you're referring to the southern resident killer whales. And I think one of the most powerful choices you can make is in what you eat. And make sure that what you're eating is sustainable and that it's not affecting the food sources that these animals really need that are critical for them right now. Of course, there's always things like writing into your governors and your other, you know, officials and making your voices heard at these public comment periods. There tends to be a lot of them going on right now. Go to the task force and make a public comment. Those things can seem very scary and obviously take some time, maybe even time off of work, but they are very, very important.
Excellent.
So as far as orcas in our ecosystem now, clearly they're an important part and part of this massive food chain. But if orcas become extinct, do you have any idea of what that would do to our ecosystem?
Well, I do want to make a clarification there. So when you say orcas become extinct, we're not in risk of losing orcas in general. What we're worried about is the specific group of southern residents, which are our fish eaters. So our transient population is doing quite well. Growing. So just to make that clear, if we were to lose the southern residents, I don't think we truly know. Just like when people talk about culling or killing off a large population of seals or something, we don't really know what ramifications that's going to have on the ecosystem. So it's pulling on that tiny little string and wondering, I wonder what this is going to do. And sometimes those things are not reversible of what happens. So it's a little scary.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, we shouldn't be trying to actively make that happen. because we, you know, you just never know what the consequences are from there. So that makes total sense.
For any animal, you know, they've done large culling or killing off of cormorants because they were trying to up fish populations. And you don't know what the ramifications of that are until afterwards. And sometimes you don't know for a few years after.
Sure,
right. How long we have a best case scenario here, and all of the stars align, and you have pretty good political will behind it, and you're connecting with individuals, and you're seeing good momentum. How long do you think until the South resident orca population either comes back or it feels stable enough to continue? How long do you see that happening?
Oh, gosh, I wish I could even venture a guess for you.
Sure.
Ken Balcom has been studying with the Center for Whale Research and studying these whales since the 70s, I think mm-hmm. it is, and I think he would be a wonderful person for that question because he has watched it kind of go up and down.
Yeah.
Of course, he's watching this decline is quite dramatic, but he has seen it fluctuate and would have a better guess of what that might take. And, honestly, even for him, it could be something that we would all say, it depends on how many fish these animals can actually get.
Right.
Sure.
Right. And have you seen it get progressively worse much faster than usual, or is this something that has been sort of a slow burn since that research was started in the 70s?
Well, I think it's been a slow burn over the past several years where, the Southern Resident drone health assessments that SR3 partners with NOAA and other collaborators on, that's been going on since 2008. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So I think since they started doing those, they have seen this kind of slow decline in the animals, and they've been saying, hey, there's some signs we're concerned about since that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like over the past couple of years, it started to increase quite dramatically and rapidly.
Yeah.
So as far as the Southern resident orca population, what is the main thing, the main issue that those whales are facing right now?
Well, we think that's food.
Yeah.
They need more fish.
Yeah.
Period. The interesting part is if you look at the northern residents, or if you even look at coastal bottlenose dolphins that Dr. Holly Fernbach, who's SR3's researcher, studies off of the coast of California, who's also a very contaminated population living in a very urban area, much like our southern residents do.
Yeah.
Those animals are doing quite well because they have enough food source.
Okay.
And the same thing with the northern residents. They may have some of the same toxins, but they're doing okay because they have enough food.
Yeah. Okay.
Our transient whales, we're quite confident those guys are very contaminated due to all the, bioaccumulation from their food source, but yet they seem to be having babies just fine.
Okay.
So we do believe that, the top factor here is food source.
Okay.
There's all those other factors underneath for sure. We need to get the contamination out of there.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that there's not too much noise in the ocean.
Yeah.
But I do think food is a priority to make sure we can help them right now.
Okay.
So I've seen these viral videos online about how someone will come up with an invention that can scrape out all those micro, tiny, itty-bitty pieces of plastic out of the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never seen anything or heard anything about something like that being really released and utilized in anywhere ever. Do you think that there's a possibility that something like that will be started in the next few years?
Well, I have heard of testing going on out in the ocean with them.
Okay.
Various types of them.
Okay.
But they're usually testing them way far offshore, more towards like in the Pacific garbage.
Right.
Patch.
Okay. Right, yeah.
So they're testing out there is what it seems like to me.
Okay.
I haven't heard exactly how successful they have been
for
it to be something that could make a huge impact over a short amount of time.
Right.
Perhaps it's something that takes a long time it just sits out there and continually does this for years.
Yeah.
But obviously, the main part we need to focus on is making sure those things aren't even in production anymore. Because having something to scoop it up out of the ocean, while that's wonderful, there is no way it can keep up with the amount that we as people put out there.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say someone hears the podcast and wants to start giving to SR3 Sea Life Response Rehab and Research. Can you talk a little bit about what donations do for your organization?
Yeah, well, we're a very small organization. We have three staff, myself and then Holly Fernbach, who's our researcher, and Doug Sandilands, who's our entanglement specialist. So, really every dollar does count, and we are all program people and keeping these critical things going. So even a small donation can really purchase medication for emergency response. It can help with supplies for entanglement. it can help support the health database or the health research assessments that are going on. So every dollar truly does count for us.
Awesome.
Do you have any upcoming events or any programs you'd like to highlight?
We do have an upcoming event at the end of April, and that is a film that's going to be shown at the Pacific Science Center called Beneath the Salish Sea.
Okay.
And that's in conjunction with Florian Grainer, who's an incredible filmmaker and just really shows the beauty of our region. And one thing I find out here, I come from the East Coast and the Southeast, where a lot of people dive. And we do have a lot of divers here, but with the water being cold, I feel like we have less.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I really love that this film shows people the beauty that is underneath that really cold water.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Those documentaries about, like, the bottom of the ocean are the coolest thing of all time.
Yeah.
You don't even know it's down there.
There's so many incredible things down there. And I, you know, one thing that I'm really passionate about is marine mammals are cute. They have big eyes usually. They're incredible. They're all these unique things, and mm-hmm. we see them because they are either on the beach or come to the surface.
Yeah.
But I really like to take our love for those animals and remind people of all the things in the ecosystem below that support these
yeah.
animals.
Yeah.
And there's so many cool things.
Yeah, very cool. Science is amazing.
It is.
One thing I always like to point out is that, you know, saving the orcas is a community thing. Like, this is not going to be one organization. It's not going to be one group. It's not going to be one solution. So I really feel strongly that we have to remember this is a collaborative effort between a lot of different organizations mm-hmm. and our community. So I really appreciate all those people that take the time to get involved, make their voices heard, and make those really critical changes in our lifestyles that help these animals.
Right on.
Amen. That's perfect. Well said.
Thank you, guys.
Casey, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate you taking the time to call into the podcast about this very important issue and what you're doing to help fight off impending disaster. Thank you so much, Casey.
Thank you.
Okay, and that was our interview with Casey McLean. Really eye-opening, really cool, kind of... really nice to hear the optimism come out of her voice in fighting this really, really, these really, really tough circumstances.
Yeah.
But very neat. I understand you probably have some facts and figures for me regarding the orcas, and I gotta imagine it's not fantastic.
Well, actually, I didn't go that way because I don't want to cry.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So the one thing that I actually have a heart for is animals. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
You people. animals are awesome.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about the governor's initiative to save animals.
Right.
So there's $1 billion that they're trying to push into.
Holy
that.
Moly.
1 billion with a B.
Wow.
And
just in the orcas or in everything?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just orcas. Like, it's about destroying dams, repairing like some habitats that are
right.
part of the ecosystem.
Right.
And then right now there's limiting whale watching. Apparently that's something that is detrimental.
Yeah, I heard
to,
that. That's crazy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like,
I mean,
their
it feels
survival
like that's
right
sort
now.
Of like non-impactful, but yeah.
Maybe it's one of those things, like Casey had mentioned, noise, you know, so
right.
like boats in the water
yep.
are going to be noisy.
Yep.
And then if you're in a boat, it's not running on solar power, you know?
That's right. That's right.
So, so that is something that's happening right now, but mm-hmm. I did pull up some facts and kind of some trivia.
Ooh, trivia.
Your favorite
yes.
thing.
You know I love good trivia.
So orcas are apex predators, so they're at the top of the food chain.
Yes.
Do you know when they hunt, what kind of, what the technical term is for what they do to hunt?
Oh, what?
Yeah.
No, not even close. It's not hunt?
Well, I mean,
it can't be. Okay,
no.
Let's see.
The answer's not in the question.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah.
I have no idea. What is the answer to this question?
Echolocation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would have never in a million years gotten there.
It's
echolocation.
Kind of, yeah, it's kind of a crazy concept. They'll make sounds and they'll travel through water. And then,
like sonar.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So then they'll travel through water. If they hit an object, then they start to hone in on it.
That's amazing.
And then they'll do this thing, too, where they might hunt in a group and kind of like
yeah.
surround whatever the animals are that they want to get. So like
yeah.
if there's a school of fish, uh-huh. I was like a pod of fish. What are fish called?
Yeah.
Like what are
yeah,
they doing?
Yeah, yeah,
a school,
the school
of fish. So if there's like a school of fish, then they will
that's
go
amazing.
Come at them.
What a genius animal.
I know. And then as far as the types of food orcas eat. Can you name three?
I'm going to say salmon.
Okay.
Fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seals.
Yes.
Right. And then, let's see. They don't do, like, the crustacean thing. How about, they don't do birds, right? They don't do birds.
They do seabirds.
They do seabirds. Mm-hmm. Wow.
They do. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
They also eat things like squid, octopus, sea turtles, and sharks.
Man. Yeah. They'll eat other sharks.
They'll eat sharks.
That was one thing I did see on YouTube, like a whale and a shark going at it. That was awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we talked a little bit about those two calves that died last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal because orcas, they only give birth to one baby at a time.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you think that orcas give birth?
I'm going to go crazy on a limb here and say once a lifetime.
They can give birth every 3 to 10 years.
Okay. Pretty few and far between.
Exactly. Yeah. So not once in a lifetime. Once in a lifetime would be really, really hard.
Yeah, because then that would be super sad.
Yeah. And then how long do you think the gestation period for an orca is? I'll give you some.
Okay.
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 So is it 6 months?
Okay.
Is it 9 months?
Okay.
Is it 17 months?
Okay.
Or is it 25 months?
I'm going to say 17.
That's it. Yeah. Nice job.
Man, I am such a good trivia taker.
You are such a good trivia taker.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, orcas, obviously black and white. Those are the colors they are.
Yes, they are.
Why do you think they are black and white? Is it because they are naturally born that way due to sun exposure?
Okay.
Is it because it helps them camouflage within the water and hunt better?
Okay.
Or is it because they just felt like it?
I feel like, because I read this when I was reading a shark book to my son.
Nice.
About the great white. I feel like it's to camouflage better,
it
right?
Is.
Because if the animals below them look up and they see white, they think it's the sky. And if the animals above them look below, they think it's the water.
That exactly
Boom!
It. You are really good at this one.
Well, my
Forget
son's
that
favorite
podcast
animal.
Question. You just redeemed yourself.
My son's favorite animal is the orca. So
I love it.
You know, I had to do some research on that.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, that was great trivia. I love trivia.
Yay.
That was our interview with Casey McLean. Fantastic interview. I urge folks to try and go learn more about the orca population, specifically the southern resident orca population, which seems to be the one that's more vastly affected by some of the things that we've been doing. Just take some time. Eliminate some of those things from your life, like too many plastics that aren't recyclable.
Yeah.
Simple things like that.
Try to use reusable things.
Yeah. They can get some of those toxins out of the ocean waters. You don't have to believe in anything besides wanting to help orcas in the environment.
Yeah.
Really, it's a very simple thing to do there.
Yeah.
In terms of our upcoming events, we actually are in the midst of Well Fed, Well Read. It started yesterday. It will run until the 12th of April. It is being conducted this year in Olympia and Spokane. Fingers crossed we're going to get it out to Bellingham next year. We got a lot of volunteers in Bellingham who are excited about it. We just need to find a second charity that wants to deal with the book angle of it. For those who don't know what Well Fed, Well Read is, it's kind of in the title. It is a book and food drive geared mostly for kids, needy kids in these various areas. It's put on by local charities in both of those two areas, Olympia and Spokane. And from the 1st through the 12th, you have state employees everywhere dropping off books and food in specified locations within their offices.
Yeah.
Offices get awards for most books and most pounds of food.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool thing. And then the big one, of course, that will be coming up soon is the May 9th Leadership Breakfast. We will have more on the lineup. We have solidified at least two of the three speakers, guest speakers who will be there. And the two that we've solidified are fantastic. So we hope everybody has an opportunity to come to that. And that will also be the same week as PSRW, Public Service Recognition Week.
Fact.
So if you are in the Olympia area, I'm going to call right now. I'm just going to reveal. You don't even know this yet.
Oh.
I'm going to reveal it right now.
Okay. I'm all ears.
Our booth For those of you who've never been to Public Service Recognition Week, it's held right in front of the Capitol in Olympia.
Yeah.
It has a bunch of vendor booths and a bunch of stuff they give away. Our booth will have Papa Shot, pending the weather. And you could get to play to beat the program manager in Papa Shot. If you do, you'll get a small prize. Not a large one. You'll get a small prize.
I love how this satisfies your basketball needs.
It does. I mean, every single time I can work it in, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And I've been practicing.
Oh.
So it's going to be difficult for people to beat me.
On the little tykes one or an actual basketball hoop?
On the Papa Shot.
Oh, okay.
On the Papa Shot. I've been working on my game.
Okay.
My Papa Shot game. Because it was sorely lacking. So, yeah, come on out and see our booth and say hi to us and let us thank you for doing everything you do as a state employee and a potential donor for the CFD. That is today's episode of Podcast for Good. Thank you to Casey for coming on the show. And thank you to Heather for having a question that made me completely speechless.
I'm stepping up my game now.
I know. This is crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you soon, everybody.
Bye.